Good morning. Welcome to Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you show you the need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you with your spiritual walk with God, please do not hesitate to call upon us. And if you have the opportunity, please come and worship and study God's Word with us. We would love to see you. We are studying the book of 1 Peter, and we are looking at the last few verses of chapter number 1. We're going to read and conclude this chapter this morning, but let us reread these last verses to keep them in front of you as we endeavor to explain them. In verse 23 of chapter 1, it says, "Having been born again, not of incorruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Now last week, we discussed at great length the subject of the incorruptible word. Now today, we want to begin in verse number 24 that talks about a Old Testament passage that the Apostle Peter quotes here. The truth are from a more distant text that you can find in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 through 8, and it is quoted here by Peter. "All flesh and human glory passes away." Isaiah said that also in Isaiah 64, verse 6. The word of the Lord is going to endure. It's going to last longer than men do. In Isaiah 40, verse 6 through 8, the scripture says, "The voice says, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. And surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." It's spoken to Judah to prepare them for the Babylonian captivity in Isaiah 39 and verse 6. In Isaiah 40 through chapter 66, looks more to the spiritual deliverer who would free all people from spiritual captivity and spiritual captivity of sin. Those released from Babylon would be included, but it would include more than that. Anything physical or human is forced and destined to pass away. Only spiritual things endure. Herein lies the conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Now, to remind you about that, let's read a couple of verses in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Now notice, it says that these two things are contrary to one another. Now herein lies where the debate comes. The flesh trusts in circumcision, carnal tactics, works of the flesh, hatred, contentions, jealousy, wrath, selfish ambitions, and other worldly pursuits. But the spirit trusts in spirituality, in spiritual things, liberty in Jesus, confidence, love of God, love for service, the fruit of the Spirit that we adapt in our character, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those characteristics that God tells us to put on. The Assyrian power passed away. Babylonian did too. Judah would return to permit God to set up any eternal kingdom through his eternal deliverer. The only problem is people have misunderstood when that would take place. It has already taken place, and yet many would have you believe that it has not taken place and won't take place till the second coming of Christ. But again, that's for another day and another subject. Peter now preaches the glories that follow Christ which the prophets only prophesied about, in which the angels have desired to look into, as we will see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, that we discussed earlier. We also understand that Peter now preaches that, and the angels of God desire to look into it, a highway in the hearts of men is prepared by Elijah, and also by John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. The glory of Jehovah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 and 5, is a prophecy, and John the Baptist fulfilled it. Similarly, we must prepare our hearts for Jesus to come and stay with us, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. We who are fleshly will die. Those who are carnal will go to hell. Those who are spiritual will see life, joy, and peace. Consider Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, my friend. Yet Peter tells us the only way to spiritual birth is through the Word of God. Will we resist it? Will we refuse to be transformed? It's a choice we must make. Chapter 2 tells us to lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. These are carnal deeds that damn the soul and lead us further away from God. Baptism washes away the guilt, but transformation is an ongoing process, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Consider the challenge of change brought by the dispersed pilgrims by Peter. Obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ, chapter 1, verse 2 that we discussed earlier. Grieved by various trials in chapter 6 and 7, tested by fire. We studied that earlier. Gird up the loins of their mind as obedient children to prepare themselves for the spiritual fight. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 we looked at earlier. Not conformed, but holy, living different types of life. Souls that were purified and obeying the truth, as we studied last week in chapter 1, verse 22. The incorruptible, enduring Word of God makes it possible that we can win this battle. Human strength, earthly powers, and human goodness is impotent and monetary and powerless to effect lasting change. Read Psalms 103, verse 15 and 16. Jehovah blows upon it and it passes away. Human pride and arrogance, whether Judah, Babylon, or America, is blown away by the true power of God. And Romans 1:16 says that power is in the gospel. But the character of God and the word of God, the promises of God, shall never fail, but they will always endure. What God declares to come to pass will happen, and it will stay, and it will be exactly like he says. Now, salvation is temporal. Salvation, temporal and eternal, is authored by God alone. Submit to him and you'll be saved. Rebel and you'll be condemned. The eternal word of God will judge us rightly, according to John 12, verse 48, the word of truth. And that which has been an utterance at our living voice, but it's not lasting and permanent because we live in a constant changing world. Notice in our text, it says the glory of man fades away, and it will fade away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Not might, not could, it will endure forever. And so let us try to tie this thought together as we end chapter number 1. The word of God is incorruptible, and it lives and it's abide. It's active and it's alive. It is unmoved, it's fixed, it is permanent. Amidst all the revolutions on the earth, the fading glories of natural objects, and the wasting strength of man, his truth remains unaffected. Its beauty never fades. Its power never is enfeebled. The gospel system is as lovely now as when it was first revealed to man, and it has much power to save as it has when it was first applied to the human heart who had transgressed God's law. We see the grass wither at the coming of autumn. We see the flower of the field decay. We see man, though confident in his strength and rejoicing in the vigor of his frame, cut down in an instant. We see cities decline and kingdoms lose their power. But the word of God is the same now that it was at the first. And amidst all the changes which may occur in the earth, that which will remain the same is the word of God. A lot of things may change on this earth. A lot of things may become different, but one of them will not be the Word of God. So what's the application? In an ever-changing, corruptible world, there is one thing that is fixed, permanent, and that thing is the incorruptible Word of God. You must hear it to become an incorruptible being. The incorruptible world comes from an incorruptible God. You are in His hands and are the creation of His eternal will. He desires to make you and mold you after His design, but the bigger question is, will you yield submission to allow it to be done? Christians are those who have been born again. A definite change was worked when you first obeyed the gospel. Are you continuing the necessary ongoing transformation, or are you resisting it for an easier and more comfortable worldly confirmation, calling it Christianity, but in essence is a perversion? The early transformed will be tried by fire and will come out pure as precious metal that is purified by fire. Are you made of gold or of stubble? Do you endure the transformation? The fruit we bear proves our profession. What is your fruit, carnality or spirituality? Are you sufficiently impressed by the spiritual over that which makes what makes it first in your life? If you haven't been born again through the Word of God, you need to do that. You need to do that because it will live and abide forever, according to verse 23. And then now is the acceptable time. Today now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. If you refuse, you will die and be corrupted, and you will be condemned. If you accept, God will wash you with the blood of His Son and welcome you into His family and make you one of a joint heir, and the promises of God will be passed out upon you. But ladies and gentlemen, what makes this all possible? It is made possible by the enduring Word of God. It will endure forever. Ladies and gentlemen, when this world is on fire, when every element in it is being dissolved with fervent heat, and every creation that God made is going to be destroyed, and any creation that man made will be destroyed, there is yet one thing that will remain, one thing that will be kept permanent and alive, and that one thing is the unadulterated, pure, unchangeable Word of God, the incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. Dear listener, are you walking in that incorruptible way? Are you walking in the paths of righteousness? Are you walking according to the gospel of Jesus Christ? For it is that gospel that has the power to save, and it's that gospel that leads us to eternal life. And it is our understanding of it, our application of it, and our following its precepts that will determine where you and I will spend eternity. Dear listener, are you following the incorruptible, unadulterated word of true hope in Christ Jesus? If not, let us show you how you can do so, and let it go to work in your life to give you real hope, to give you real change, to give you a real benefit of spiritual blessing by being in Christ and being faithful.